If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, we're in Romans, and we continue this amazing letter that Paul wrote, really sort of the center of our theology in many ways, as he wrote this incredible, incredible book of what we actually believe is true. But I'll tell you, I, this week, just driving around, we live in such a beautiful place, don't we? I mean, I drove up Chandler and looking out over the Sound, and it's just beautiful. I look at the sunset and Mount Baker with still snow on it, and it's poking up there, and it's just, wow. And it's not just the beauty of our surroundings. The Olympics have been on. Have you guys watched any of the Olympics? I know, you know, controversies over how they're presenting stuff, but I'll tell you, I just am amazed at the competition and the excellence. Gymnastics, amazing. I like rowing. So the four, the U.S. four won gold, is just to watch them in sync as they went. Oh, fabulous. Super amazing. Even sports that I don't really care. I mean, I was watching the equestrian, the horse, and I started thinking, man, to make a horse jump like that. And I was watching like the 45th place person, but it was incredible. All of that stuff, everything I just mentioned. You do know all of them run on rules, right? Without rules, it would be chaos, the Olympic competition. Without rules, we wouldn't have a sunset and be outside. I drove up on Chandler Road to look out and say, why is going up? What? It's because then there's a view of how the light runs. Even the relationships we have, it runs on rules. And so last week we started to look at this reality that we live with the law. And it's kind of a no-brainer. Of course we live by rules. We don't live in chaos. But the thing I'm trying to do that's so important for your Christian life is to realize that the law is for human beings, not specifically for Christians. You think, well, okay, whatever, it doesn't really matter. No, it matters hugely on how you're going to think about living your Christian life. It is a huge distinction. I mean, you realize, right? This is the whole message of Romans that Paul has laid out for us, how we were under the law. It bound us, all of us, every human being. And there it is saying, you know, you don't do this well enough. And I was trying with my good intentions, all that I am, to be in this room of can I please God so that he will say, Dax, yes, you're my kid. And Paul says, nobody does. Instead, what we did was we died to the law to get into Christ. In Jesus Christ, where I received the one-way love of God that he paid on the cross for everyone who will believe, and I'm in a whole other room where he loves me. Absolutely remarkable. Fabulous. We have no accounting, no law-keeping to accomplish. We're only waiting for our Savior to arrive for us. We are right now children of God. We don't know what we're going to look like, but we're going to be like Jesus. Because we'll see him as he is. That's 1 John 3. It's a promise. So the problem is, to me, this is the problem that we kind of have to deal with, is that Jesus went to heaven, he ascended, and he's gone. He said, wait for me, I'm coming back. And I'm left in this world that's just a little bit, you know, ruined. I mean, we talk about the delicious cup of coffee, and if you just add a little bit of raw sewage, I don't want to drink that coffee. So I think, okay, well, I think I get it. Jesus went away, and so what I need to do, what you need to do, is you need to strain the coffee and get the raw sewage out and make a good coffee again. Because that ruination of the world, don't you see it? The world is brutal sometimes. There's a dead bird somewhere in our parking lot today. I don't like it. I don't like ruined relationships. Failure to keep the law. But then I look at me and I realize I don't keep the law very well. That was the whole reason I got pushed to Christ. And the reason why we have to talk about the law is amazing and wonderful and crushes you and me. We don't keep it in such a way that God says, good job. Part of the raw sewage piece is me. And so I think, well, maybe I'm going to try and work on now getting out of that raw sewageness. But the reality is that would be me being back in the room. I left. That's the problem. That just puts me right back into gazing at my navel, thinking, am I doing well enough that now God is happy with me? I've come to know and believe the love that God has for me. So the reality is that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for goodness for everyone who believes. But we are waiting in this world, in this society, with people who don't know Jesus, people who don't care about heaven. And do you know what we do there? We live with the law. So last week, we talked about living as human beings, upholding the law for people here. I think about it this way a little bit. Maybe this will help before we... It's a long intro, but it's okay. I think of it, and this is imperfect, but I think of it like I have an airplane ticket. It has my name on it. It is absolutely happening that the plane is leaving next week. I've got it. I start packing my bags. I'm going to go. I know I'm leaving. But in the midst of it, my kid says, I'm hungry. Dad, would you take the car down to the store and get food? Well, no, I'm leaving on an airplane. Why would I drive the car to the store? Why would I continue to eat? Why would I do anything? I'm going away. No, but because there are things still happening, while I'm waiting to get out of there, I do the normal life things that happen for everybody. I put gas in my car. I fix the leak in my roof. Right? That's this kind of idea. Even though my heart, you know, I might be different. You know, I'm not really interested in the best patch ever because I'm leaving next week. So I'm affected by it, but with the mindset that I'm a short-termer. I'm dead to the law for any sort of goodness in my actual family, which is in Christ, but I'm still living with the rules that happen for society. Like, you know, I won't have food in my refrigerator unless I go to the store and get some. That's not my ticket. That's just life. For everybody, by the way. So this is the idea of living with the law. And I want you to show how it works that you and I, who are absolutely without any restraint, not under the law anymore for any sort of accounting, any sort of goodness, any sort of righteousness. Oh no, this is so important for you. And yet we're pulled. And the break we want to make is the law keeping we do is not to please God. That's not it. My standing is based on me receiving Christ. Okay, let's look. Let's look more carefully. Because first, it's about love, living under love. I actually want to pick up with one verse we did last week, just real fast till we get into the flow. And here it is, verse 7. It says, pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So Paul, you know, authority, right? He talked last week about, hey, the authority is there to enforce the law, to protect people from each other who aren't Christian per se. It's just people. They're there for your good. You can talk about whether their good is good or not. You can say, hey, I really think the authority's not doing right. That's a fine question. But it's not, we shouldn't have an authority because you're a Christian. And now he says, you know, don't think that even though you're free, because you are, live joyfully under the rules. Honor and repay your debts, whatever's required. Why does he say that? You realize what he's saying, right? He's actually going and saying, you know what? You know you're going to heaven. You know you're in a different room. You know you're now received the one-way love of God. You know you're an heir of Christ and a child of God. You know what I might be tempted to do is say, sayonara, dudes. I'm out of here. You know, I'm going to heaven. I'll stop the mortgage payment. I'll toss out normal behavior. And, you know, maybe as I get on the plane, I'll flip you the bird. I really didn't like this place anyway. You get that kind of attitude, and you could, because you actually aren't part of the system anymore. You've been taken out of it. You've died to the law, and you've put in Christ. And so now that I'm put in Christ, I'm going to heaven. I hope you're with me because of what Jesus has done for you and me. We're going. But I'm waiting. And while I wait, says Paul, live under the rules. Don't throw them away. The law is how this world works. We're not stopping how the you being a human being on the earth in the flesh. You still are. That's why he says it. And he says it, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Your love isn't bad. It's good. In fact, love is the summary of the law. Human beings function on the earth by the law. And the law is just be kind to each other. I mean, you go all the way back to the Noahic covenant, right? Which is to humanity. And how is that kind of summed up? Don't kill each other. That's your basic statement of care. You know, don't take a sharp stick and go after your enemy. If you can. I'm not saying there might not be justification for wars, but the idea we're getting at today is that this idea of love is the fulfillment of the law. Your caring is what operates well in society. While you're waiting, care for other people, because that's how the world here works. You in the flesh will be just fine if you do this. There's quite a big difference from what many people think is our purpose. It's like people say, oh, you know, God saved you in order that you might be a shining example of loving. Well, newsflash, you're not. You're just not that good. That's not even what Paul is talking about here. It's our purpose as Christians is what? I'll tell you what. Go be with Jesus. He's coming back for you. Receive his one-way love. Because he saves you. He has come to you. And my job is to wait for the King from heaven to appear. I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to be totally different. I'm going to proclaim this news that I know. And while I'm on earth, I will love. But that's not like my Christian thing that I'm going to do better than everyone else. Well, why do you say that, Dax? Because everybody does this. Don't you think that that's the role of Buddhism? Care for one another. Don't you think that that's what the Mormon does? Don't you think that that's what the atheist says we should do? You know, a strong society cares for one another. That's the idea. Human beings are meant to be caring for one another. That's the great and wonderful, marvelous law of God. And you still have a foot in that kingdom because you're still here on earth. Jesus hasn't appeared. You haven't died and been resurrected. Oh, we've started. I get the already not yetness of, yes, I've got a new heart. Yes, I see. But the getting a new heart and seeing is by promise, looking at Jesus, who has loved me. Not, oh, let's evaluate then how much I'm producing over here. That's our problem. See what he says. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So you see what he's talking about. He's talking about law keeping that he has spent 8 chapters saying you had to die to this in order to be in Christ. So why is he coming back? I feel like this is one of the main issues. And again, your whole life releases if you'll get this distinction. Because for so many in Christianity, it's like, oh, you were saved in order that you might go be a great lover, and therefore putting you right back into the room of what's often called good intentions of how well are you loving? But we've come to know something different. We don't think that God's purpose for me is to try and love other people better than anyone else. To get right back into that crummy room of gazing at my navel and seeing how much self-sacrifice can I gin up. Because the law is the law of loving other people, and that law is for the dying. That's being curved in on yourself. How much are you loving? How much fruit are you bearing? Are you being a good Christian? And I'll tell you, a good Christian is not the best law keeper. A good Christian is one who trusts Jesus, who believes that Jesus loves us, not that we love Jesus. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. I receive Jesus. I don't climb up to Jesus. So this law stuff we're doing is simply living by the rules here, like gravity. I know that when I let go of an orange, where does it go? Down. Why? Because it's a law of gravity. I know that us caring for each other will have a better societal outcome. It's how society should work. We should care for each other. We can argue over what that care should look like, what the content of the law is, and we go into arguments over, I think the Ten Commandments is the summary, the best summary of the law. Even the natural law fits right in there. We can start arguing over how that looks and how best to affect the caring for one another. Should we give everyone free rent? Or should we have responsibility and help people earn their money? That's a question over how to love. It's a question over society. It has nothing to do with Christianity. What's Christianity? I've come to know and believe the love God has for me. This is really big, you guys. I know that lying hurts people. I'm against it. I know that stealing hurts people. I know that jealousy for what other people have hurts people. So while I'm functioning here in this world, I stand against those things. Any human being should. We should not be a people who condone stealing and lying and adultery and coveting. And that's just love that everyone should have. This is really helpful, right? Because there are those in our society, not just in Christianity, in society, who say that lying's okay. Or that stealing is justified, you know, to right a wrong or to cover up something hurtful. They say, no. We love, and love, our best look at love is the law. By the way, how is this freeing? Why is this good? Because I don't bring the gospel in and say it doesn't matter. For society that doesn't know Jesus, where am I getting the gospel if it's not the announcement of Jesus Christ?
Well, I just want the principle of take down the law.
No. Jesus affirmed the law. He said, you keep that really high so that when people max out and we finally open our eyes and say, I can't do it, Jesus, then there's an avenue, right, that He did it for us. That's the gospel. So you don't confuse law and gospel. The gospel's for our community in Christ, our value and reality of our identity is in what Jesus Christ has done for us. I'm new in Him. The law has nothing to say to me. Okay, so here's the deal. You and I who know Jesus Christ, we're heading away. This is not our home. I've already packed up. I'm going on a plane. I'm all set, but I'm waiting for the call to head to the airport.
And so I still, you know, drive over to the store and get food for the kids. I still turn on the fan when it's hot. I still stand up against stealing because it harms people. I have no trouble following the rules of society, of the world, as law, because that's what we're in. I want us to love each other. Everybody. You don't have to confess Christ. Love people if it fulfills the law. That's not much to do with the reality that Jesus Christ adores me. When you realize that your love is so piss poor. I don't give myself kudos for just doing what every human being should do. Oh, look, how great. I didn't steal today. Well, that's human. Be human. So the question becomes, when do we get out of here? Because that's linked together with this, right? When do we get out of here? Funny you should ask. That's where Paul goes. He says we're living under the law, but we're living in anticipation. And no, I don't want us to start singing a song. Did that go up on yours too? Oh, no, it didn't. Okay. What we really care about is Jesus is coming. Okay, he says, besides this, okay, this law thing, keep doing it. Oh, yeah, go ahead and love. That's how you live in the flesh and the world. But while you do that, it says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Okay, stop for a minute there with me, because it seems, doesn't it? It seems often like we're sleepwalking. And that's like daily living. That's not thinking the incredible love of our Savior. It's about just doing daily life, and it wears on me. When we're asleep, we're thinking that our love and our law keeping is somehow changing society, like every other human being. We're on this ladder thing, and we climb and we climb and we climb, and we think, okay, we're climbing up to be good people, and we're enforcing and we're working, and this is the daily grind of just living a good life, and that's sleeping, says Paul. We're trying to reform the earth and make a perfect society, like we're caught up in a game of Monopoly. But it kind of really is play money. It isn't life. But I can get into this numb routine of trying to right wrongs and trying to set up a better society. And don't forget, says Paul, don't fall asleep. Don't live like your love is the goal. Remember the plane ticket. Remember the one-way love for you. Remember the promise. Remember Jesus. For now, we're dealing with bodies that are broken and life that's less than hoped for and death that's all too present. But Jesus is coming, and with every day he's nearer. That's what he said, right? The hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. That moment's coming when in an instant everything's changed. So often we kind of get beaten down because we're in this world and the world runs on law and we're constantly pulled to evaluate how we're doing under the law. We start thinking that's God's plan for us, is to be on this law treadmill, and it's numbing, and it is. And Paul says, wake up. You're over here. It's totally different than you think. It's not trying to find motivational levers to get people to love more. Well, if you just had a bit more gratitude to God, you would be a better lover. That's what God wants for you. Okay, my sort of sarcastic tone means I don't think that's true. I think actually he wants you to trust Jesus, that you are being used by him, that you have a new heart that he's given you. And the whole thing is that you can't see it because we walk by faith, not by sight. Do you know what walking by sight would look like? You and me building an amazing tower to heaven right here. Because the power of God and our amazing love causes everyone to turn and say, can you believe how great lovers those people are? And we would say, yes, that's because of Jesus. Instead, I look at you and I think you look a lot like a regular person. Divorce still happens. Coveting is still going on. We're still living under this law that's restraining us. We say, yes, I don't want to sin, but I do sin. My hope is in the one-way love of God for me. That's why I said this, have this up there, but our citizenship is in heaven, not here. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. And if we continued, I won't continue with that, but verse 21 of Philippians 3, let me just read it to you. It says, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Do you realize what he's saying? It's coming. The power that Christ will exert on you to transform you into something totally different than what you even look like now. Transformation isn't here, not entirely. We start to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. We start to say, oh, I think differently about where my hope is. It's in Christ, not in law keeping. But I don't see it until Jesus comes again. Because we're in this long night of self-orientation, of law-keeping, of our love and our actions and our striving. And society works on keeping us all in this cage. And in that sense, to some degree, we are all kind of blind. It's hard to see. For those of us who have eyes, what's the picture you would use to say, hey, when you have really difficulty seeing, what's the condition that makes it really difficult to see? And I'll tell you what it is. It's nighttime. It's nighttime. So Paul says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. Okay. Think about that. That means you're still in the night. The day's coming. You guys, the day's coming. It's not here. The night is far gone. It's almost over. It's almost over when Jesus comes back. He's not back yet, but he's coming again, right? So we're living under the rules here by the law of love, trying the best we can while still believing that our life is actually not about how well we do, which is really important because we're so bad at it. That's true, right? I mean, come up afterwards. I'd love to meet you. If you're telling me your love is the incredible, perfect love of Jesus. If you're going, man, I read the Good Samaritan, that is me. I want to meet you. Man, I want you in my friend group. Can you join my Facebook page? I want to watch your social media. Because you'll be such a shining image of Jesus. Except it'll be fake. There's never enough. You could always do more. Say, no. I pray for people. Yeah, did you send him a card? Yeah, no, I sent him a card. Okay, did you take him a meal? Of course I took him a meal. I'm a great Christian. Okay, did you pay their mortgage? Why? Okay, I will pay their mortgage. Well, wait a minute. You own a home. Why? Jesus didn't own a home. Why don't you sell your home and give it to the other person? Why do you have a car? What? You have a retirement account? Who are you? You consider yourself a Christian? There's never enough. There's never enough. You could always love, and there's always more to love. Why? Because you don't love with the perfect love of God. I'm not taking away a tiny bit from this amazing reality. The Holy Spirit uses us and uses our new heart that trusts him to actually bear amazing fruit in ways we don't even understand. But don't you dare think that's like law keeping. It's so society will work if you care for each other. We all kind of aim at doing the best we can. We know the laws, the way things should work. We try and care for each other. We're reasonably trying. That's what we do. We fake a lot of it. And we do the best we can. But the day comes, I'm telling you the day is coming, when our lover, when our Savior, when our God, when our amazing Redeemer comes for us. That's the day. So right now, it's closer than it's ever been because he's coming like a promise. He's coming and we're at the end of the night, but it's still the night. I'm still like, I don't see it because I'm walking by faith, not by sight. And so that's why the night is far gone. The day is at hand. It's not quite here. You guys, so then, he says, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And I can't get away from my self-righteousness. But we're not going to walk in self-righteousness. We're free. It's the same armor as Ephesians, then he says. It's like Jesus Christ is our protection. The helm of salvation, the breastplate of his righteousness. His righteousness. The shoes of the gospel of peace. We're okay because of not ourselves and our loving, but Jesus and our trust that he paid it all and it worked. This is us, right? This is who we are. Okay, walk now in the light of the gospel because light exposes. It's open. It's transparent. We're not hiding away. The idea isn't don't show your sin, but be openly trusting Jesus. And that's being in the light. And we'll finish with this. He says in verse 13, he says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Okay, I get it. If you just ripped this verse out and you stuck it on your fridge and you said, okay, this is what my task is, you're going to slip over into thinking what's going on is this moral play is God's work for you. But he's not even talking morality. He's not saying let's all keep the law. He's saying let's walk in the light. What's the light? This room over here that Jesus Christ has paid it all. That's to put on the armor of light, which is Jesus' righteousness for you. The helm of salvation, which is him for you. The one-way love of God. Let's walk believing that that's true. Already given. I'm as good as I ever need to be. Why? Because I'm clothed in the righteousness of God. It is the blood of Christ shed for me. And by it I am clean. No accusation can touch me. I'm forgiven and clean and pure and holy and true because of Jesus. He's my armor. And this continuing function of the world over here, I'm in it. I don't ignore it. I give it all the honor and I pay all the taxes and I do the love behavior it deserves. But it isn't me. I'm in the love of Jesus. And so he says, don't try and find other ways out of the tension of this world. Because there is a tension. Man, I'm told that the whole idea is I'm supposed to love better, and I don't, and I see it, and I fall down, and I break a relationship, or I don't follow up right, or it's overwhelming, and so I want to escape. What are ways you could escape? He puts them there. Orgies and drunkenness, that's wild escapism. Trying to find peace through drink or diversion. Not going to help. Actual perversion, right? This sexual immorality and sensuality, finding fulfillment through self-satisfaction. That's not where it's at. Or even worse, fighting, right? Needing to win and be right here on earth, going to impose the law and my righteousness on those jerks. That's quarreling and jealousy. It's not a simple moral plea. It's a plea to stand on the truth of the good news of the Jesus that we know. You are so taken care of forever. And that's why he says, but put on the Lord Jesus. Make no provision for the flesh. The flesh is you. You don't say, oh, let's try and make towers and make myself good and fulfill my fantasies here. No, it's all about Jesus. He's for me. You are not trying to be big for God. You're getting ready to be totally changed, resurrected. I'll tell you the truth today. The plane is leaving. You've got your ticket. It is promised. He has prepared a place for you. My flesh is dead and my new heart is here. And that new heart is grounded only in trusting Jesus, in receiving, in believing that he loves me. He has me. He will do exactly what he wants. So I put on Jesus. That means that's my clothing, not my works, his works. I make no provision for thinking I have standing based on my love. That's a dead end. That's the law. And I died to it for righteousness.
in order to be in Jesus Christ. So we end there today, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. Don't you dare take this passage where Paul says, hey, you're waiting. Obey the rules for human beings while you wait. Don't take that as somehow your new purpose from God. It is everyone's purpose on earth. We have trust, and it's so much better. We have our tickets. Jesus paid it all. It's promised and sure, and I trust him. It changes how I think, but it does not change how the world works. I live here on this world waiting for the transformation of the resurrection. It is a radical renewal of my mind to put my trust over here. And I call you into it today. To simply live in the rules of the world, don't sweat it. It's the law. While you wait for the fulfilling of what you don't see, but you trust. The good news, the gospel, the best news ever. God has announced his incredible love for you and me, and we stand alive and holy and blameless because he says that's true. Would you find your hope there with me? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done. We don't deserve you. Thank you that you give us life. Thank you that you're the provider. Forgive us, Lord. We want to earn it back. I want to show you how great we are. Lord, forgive me for my constant lack of actually just receiving the amazing blessing that you've already given me in your Son. And I pray we would receive him in ways that produce this amazing love, joy, peace, patience, all the things, because you're that good. In your name we pray.